Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Sir, there is something personal that's affecting you. Your son, while there's no ties to you, could be charged by your Department of Justice. How will that impact your presidency?
First of all, my son's done nothing wrong. I trust him. I have faith in him. And it impacts my presidency by making me feel proud of him.
Proud of him, he says. Proud of him. Welcome to the Dana Show. This is Rich Zeoli from WPHD in Philadelphia in for Dana today on a very busy news day. As yes, Hunter Biden has got a sweetheart plea deal with the Department of Justice. And this is ridiculous how easy they have come down on Hunter Biden. It's not unsurprising. I think we all knew this was coming. A little slap on the old Hunter Biden wrist. But that's all he's getting here. In fact, if he were somebody not named Hunter Biden, they would be throwing the book at him. But he's Hunter Biden. His dad is president. His dad is the boss. So they are absolutely giving him a sweetheart plea deal. And this is just, I mean, it's really laughable. It truly is laughable. So let me give you the facts. I'll give you the facts today on the Dana Show, and we'll break it all down for you. Of course, obviously, this comes as we're all watching what's going to happen with former President Donald Trump. He was on with Brett Baer last night on Fox News and saying a lot of things that people said he shouldn't have said because it only makes his case more complicated and more difficult. But this is the problem when you are running for the presidency and you are also trying to fight to stay out of prison. You have to explain yourself to the American people who are going to cast a judgment on you at the ballot box. You also have to explain yourself to a jury at some point, potentially as well. So this is why we don't prosecute our political enemies in this country for that very reason. Because normally a defendant, you shut up, you don't say anything, you never talk. You say nothing. Your attorneys do all the communication. You say nothing until the trial's over and you've been found not guilty. And then you can give a press conference, you can say whatever you want. But if you're running for the highest office in the land, you have to speak, you can't hide, and you have to be able to explain these things because you want people to vote for you. This is why, again, we don't prosecute our political enemies in this country because it's not fair. They don't have a fair shake like a normal defendant does to be able to just exercise their Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination and just be quiet. So yeah, I mean, all these people are harping on Trump and saying, hey, you know, you shouldn't say these things to Brett Baer. You shouldn't have said anything. You shouldn't say things. I understand that. But at the same time, if there are people thinking he might be guilty of something, he wants them to vote for him. So he's trying to convince them of the fact that he's not guilty, even as he says things that might be used against him in a court of law. It's a very precarious position to be in. It's why he's the only person who's ever been in that position. I mean, really, the only person ever running for president who's also had a fight to prove his own innocence in federal court. But Hunter Biden, total slap on the wrist here. And this is what I mean by this. Hunter Biden had lied in a federal gun form years ago when he was a crack addict. And for that reason alone, he should be going to prison because the Department of Justice has a very long track record of throwing the book at people who lie on federal gun forms, especially an administration that does not like the Second Amendment and wants to make sure that they make an example out of everybody. And, you know, Brett Tolman is a former federal prosecutor, and he was actually on my show in Philadelphia yesterday. He's done a very good job of breaking this down on Twitter as he went through some of this. And the big takeaway that I see from this is the following. The Department of Justice is violating its own internal policies on this case. The Ashcroft memo requires that they charge the, quote, highest provable offense and seek consistent sentences with other cases brought by the Department of Justice. This prosecution is an absolute laughable joke. Thousands have been sent to prison for longer terms for the same charges. And Hunter Biden will not see a single day in prison, given this little plea bargain that he just made. The federal charges that have been filed against Hunter Biden in a case involving taxes and gun possession charge, he will plead guilty to the tax charges only, and he will get what is known as pre-trial diversion for the gun charge. A slap on the wrist, an absolute, look, Hunter, you were bad. You were bad, and now we're going to make an example out of you by not sending you to jail for anything that you've done. So we're going to, the example being that you're a Biden, and this is what we do. We give you a pass. Hunter Biden to plead guilty to tax-related misdemeanor crimes as part of a plea agreement. And who are they protecting here? You know damn well they're not protecting Hunter Biden. They're protecting Joe Biden. This entirely is about protecting the president. It's not about protecting Hunter. They've never cared about Hunter. But everything about Hunter Biden making money leads back to Joe Biden making money, and they know that, and they want this to end as quickly as possible. Now, the only update is that the United States Attorney for Delaware has come out and said the case is still ongoing with Hunter Biden. Now, that leaves some people to think, well, maybe more charges will come down the line, but I would not get my hopes up if I were you. I would not. And think of the timing of this. They announced the indictment against former President Trump a week ago. I mean, it's maybe 2 weeks. I mean, it's barely been a blip on the radar. And then they come out and they announce charges against Hunter Biden so that they can come out and say, ah, you see, we're not political. Oh, no. We charge everybody. But there's no pretrial intervention for the former president. There's no plea deal for him. They're going after him. They're throwing the book at him with 37 felony counts, which include him potentially dying in prison if he's found guilty on even one of those charges. Under the Espionage Act, which is a ridiculous leap to use the Espionage Act against him, even if you believe he should have returned all the classified documents, to use the Espionage Act against him is a gross overreach of what the prosecution has in its arsenal. But they also then want to turn around and go, look, Hunter Biden, you see, now he's pleading guilty. All right, so justice is blind. Justice is blind. Everybody gets the same treatment, but that's not true. And I love how NBC News begins the article by saying the Trump-appointed U.S. Attorney for Delaware has reached a plea agreement with Hunter Biden in which he is expected to plead guilty to two federal misdemeanor charges for failing to pay his taxes. Biden also faces a separate felony gun possession charge that will likely be dismissed if he meets certain conditions, according to court documents filed on Tuesday. Two sources familiar with the agreement told NBC News that includes a provision in which the United States Attorney has agreed to recommend probation for Biden for his tax violations. That's nice, right? Must be nice. Legal experts also said that the tax and gun charges will most likely not result in any jail time for President Joe Biden's son. It's the first time the Justice Department, part of the executive branch headed by the president, has brought charges against a child of a sitting president. These barely count as charges. I'm telling you right now, they barely count as charges. If they were sending Hunter Biden to jail, they were sending him to prison, federal prison, that would be something. Instead, what they're doing is they're absolutely giving him a pass. A decision by U.S. Attorney David Weiss, who was nominated by President Trump in 2018. So NBC News is taking the point to remind you of that now twice. And indicates an end to the sweeping five-year investigation by federal prosecutors, FBI agents, and IRS officials into Hunter Biden's conduct. The Biden administration has kept Weiss in place in order to avoid having a U.S. attorney appointed by the president oversee his son's criminal case. What we've all been asking for, what everybody who's looked at this has said, is the same thing. There should have been a special counsel, somebody completely neutral in this matter under the special counsel statute, who could have been looking into this from day one to see where all roads lead. Because the U.S. attorney still answers to main justice outside in Washington, D.C. He still answers to them. But a special counsel does not. I mean, at least according to Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland has said, I have not spoken to the special counsel Jack Smith in Trump's case, because this is outside of my purview here. It's outside of main justice. But the U.S. attorney in Delaware absolutely answers to the United States Department of Justice. Absolutely does. And you don't think that he got the okay by them? You don't think that they were steering this? Of course they were. Weiss's office said in a statement, Hunter Biden received taxable income in excess of $1.5 million annually in calendar years 2017 and 2018. Despite owing in excess of $100,000 in federal income taxes each year, he did not pay the income tax due for either year. Regarding the gun charge, the statement said, from on or about October 12, 2018 through October 23, 2018, Hunter Biden possessed a firearm despite knowing he was an unlawful user of and addicted to a controlled substance, i.e. crack. He was a crackhead. He was a crackhead with a gun who lied in a federal gun form about being a crackhead and should be going to prison just for that. Based on the charging history of the Department of Justice, based on what other people have gotten. Again, I'll remind you what Brett Tolman has said. He's a former United States attorney. He's also a guy who heads up a very important criminal justice reform organization called Right on Crime. Conservatives who are pushing for criminal justice reform, and one of those things is to get the federal government off everybody's back. But as he points out, thousands of people have been prosecuted under Project Safe Neighborhoods by the Department of Justice. They brag about getting nearly 5 years of prison time on average for their gun cases. If they followed policy, Hunter would be looking at a minimum of 5 years in federal prison. But he's a Biden, so it's okay. It's all good. They are ignoring decades of policy and precedent to seek felonies, not misdemeanors, and seek sentences within the guidelines range. The division agreement on the felony is offensive to everyone not politically connected who sought diversions and were literally laughed at by the Department of Justice. This pretrial diversion on the gun charge is something that is never offered by the Department of Justice. Virtually never offered. This is what I mean about, well, it must be nice to be the president's son. It must be nice to be a Biden. He's getting something that the Department of Justice does not normally do. They throw the book at you if you lie in a federal gun form. There have been so many people who have been caught up in that nightmare, even by making a simple material omission or a mistake. It doesn't matter. They want to make an example out of you. But with Hunter Biden being Biden's kid, he's allowed to do something that the Department of Justice typically never does, allow him to be in a pre-trial diversion to make the charges go away. It's amazing. They're violating their own internal policies on the case. But this is the sweetheart deal. Meanwhile, in Florida, the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, is now looking at an August 14th trial date right before the first presidential debate, which is set for August 23rd. Now, that trial may not happen on August 14th. It's very possible that with appeals and everything else, the date will change. But nevertheless, just to understand the two systems of justice we have in this country. Hell, we don't even have justice. What am I saying? It's not justice. What we have is we have a political Department of Justice is what we have. We don't have a justice system. We have a politicized Department of Justice that is operating for the purposes of doing the bidding for the Democrat Party. And they always have. From 2016 on, Russia collusion, exactly what the Durham memo provided, the Durham investigation, Russia collusion was made up. The FBI, the Department of Justice, the National Security State, they were all in on this. They promulgated this lie for years to try to bring down a presidency. In 2020, they lied about the Hunter Biden laptop. And now the Department of Justice is giving Hunter Biden a pass to protect his father while they go after his father's chief political rival and charge him with 37 federal counts. So, no, we don't have justice in the United States of America. We don't have a justice system. We have a Department of Justice, which might as well at this point be an extension of the Democrat National Committee. This is The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana, as we get things started on a busy news day. Coming right back.
What is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen? It's already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it will pass the drug trade. Because someone can sell a bag of cocaine one time, but they can sell a child 5 to 10 times per day. On July 4th, witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. From Angel Studios, the force behind His Only Son and The Chosen, comes an extraordinary true story of courage and redemption. Experience the spirit of hope and the power of human resilience. The goal is for 2 million people to get into theaters the week of July 4th and remember the 2 million children who are trafficked every year. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom. Buying tickets in advance sends an important message. To show your support, purchase tickets for yourself or pay it forward so they can pack theaters the week of July 4th. Visit angel.com/freedom.
Is America not number one anymore? Sometimes it takes admitting we have a problem to be able to fix it. Between parental rights over their children or the government paying big tech for your private info, how can we right our wrongs to go back to being the shiny city on the hill? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Yeah, so this is the We Knew Hunter Biden Was Guilty edition of The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. It's an honor to be here today. And you know what? It's the part of the show, Steve, where we do this.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, you know what? I'm very happy to share with you that according to the American Medical Association, BMI, which is Body Mass Index, is racist because the measurements were designed based on white bodies in the 19th century. So when somebody tells you your BMI is too high when you go to the doctor's office, just look them in the eye and say, shut up, you racist, and then grab another Twinkie or Tasty Cake, since I'm from Philly. New Hampshire State Senator Keith Murphy was arrested in a bar fight. I actually think we need more of this. I do. I miss duels. And I think if we could have more politicians fighting each other, America would probably be a better place. Think about it. You get all your aggression out at a bar, and then you go and you can reach across the aisle and make friends. I think it works out well. Arrested after allegedly slapping and spitting on a man in a bar, police say. He's a Republican lawmaker, so at least there's that. We've got that going for us. But again, it's New Hampshire, so they have like 500 different legislators there. It's a very, very big legislature. Texas is in the thick of a brutal and prolonged heat wave, as you know if you are listening to The Dana Show in Texas. And we are still looking for that submarine, the Titanic submarine, but a billionaire British explorer is among the missing after this tourist sub has disappeared. And Ketanji Brown Jackson's ancestors were enslaved. But you'll never believe who were the enslavers. Her husband. Yes. Well, her husband's ancestors. I mean, that's a marriage made in heaven right there, is it not? So Ketanji Brown Jackson, the Supreme Court justice, her ancestors were enslaved, and her husband's ancestors were the actual enslavers of her ancestors. It's a very strange thing. So I guess he owes her reparations. This is The Dana Show, coming right back.
You've heard me talk about my friends at Kel-Tec for years, and it's because I really believe in them as a company and as innovators. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond, like with the Kel-Tec P50, a revolutionary award-winning pistol that packs a punch in a compact package. The Kel-Tec P50 is perfect for home defense, for range shooting, or just even having some fun. And with its top-mounted Picatinny rail, you can easily attach your favorite optics or accessories to make it truly yours. Whether you are a seasoned shooter or you're just starting out, the Kel-Tec P50 is the perfect pistol for anyone looking for power and precision in a compact and easy-to-use package. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond. Learn more about the P50 pistol at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
It is The Dana Show as we talk about Hunter Biden. Welcome back. Glad you're here today. Rich Zeoli from WPHD in Philadelphia, one of Dana's many affiliates across the country. And we are... I'm watching the reactions to everything with Hunter Biden getting the slap on the wrist and our two-tiered non-system of justice, because we don't have a justice system. We have a Department of Justice that is very politicized. I'm looking at a lot of these things, and one thing is very clear. The Republicans in Congress are not going to give up their own investigation of Hunter Biden, despite what the Justice Department announced today. So just a few moments ago, the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, said a plea deal on tax charges for Hunter Biden will not slow down House Republicans' investigation into the Biden family's business dealings. He said, it continues to show the two-tier system in America. If you are the president's leading political opponent, the DOJ tries to literally put you in jail and give you prison time. But if you are the president's son, you get a sweetheart deal. Now, this does nothing to our investigation, McCarthy told reporters Tuesday morning. It actually should enhance our investigation because the Department of Justice should not be able to withhold any information since there is no longer a pending investigation. They should be able to provide House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer with any information that he requires. However, though, the United States attorney came out and said the investigation is still ongoing. So they want to have it both ways. They want to still be able to stonewall Congress. That's the purpose in doing that. Because I know that earlier you might have wondered to yourself, well, then, Rich, why would they announce charges against Hunter Biden, even though they're minuscule and they're, you know, obviously it's a slap on the wrist, but then say that the investigation is still ongoing? Why would they do it now? Well, the investigation is really not ongoing. It's been 5 years. But they want to continue to stonewall Congress because the Republicans are not going to give up. They're going to continue their investigation into Hunter Biden. The House Oversight Committee, the House Select Committee on the Weaponization of Government, they're not giving up. But what has been the strategy of the Department of Justice up until now? It has been to obfuscate, stonewall, turn around and say, sorry, ongoing investigation, can't say anything. Oh, so sorry, wish we could. When the charges were announced this morning, immediately I thought the same thing. I thought, well, great. On the one hand, we can all point out the fact that, yes, this is a Department of Justice that is absolutely giving Hunter Biden a complete and utter pass. But at the same time, this then takes away the excuse of them turning around to Comer's committee and saying, I'd love to help. But we just can't because, you know, ongoing investigation. And then sure enough, about an hour later, they put out a statement saying the investigation is still ongoing. Hunter Biden has agreed to plead guilty to tax crimes and reached a diversion agreement related to unlawful possession of a weapon. So the diversion agreement means that unlike literally millions of Americans in this country who are in prison, he will not go to jail. And this never happened. It will literally be like it never happened. It's almost like he's a juvenile, you know, and they seal his record and then they just erase it one day. I mean, Hunter Biden may be mentally speaking a juvenile, but he's still an adult. And there are so many people in this country who have been prosecuted by the very same Department of Justice for committing even less crimes than Hunter Biden has, and they are in federal prison right now. His attorney, Christopher Clark, said in a statement that his understanding was that the matter was resolved, but United States Attorney David C. Weiss's office said in its own statement on Tuesday that the investigation is still ongoing. That's their way of telling the Republicans in Congress, go to hell. We're not giving you a damn thing. We are not helping you in any way with your investigation into the Biden family. This is a crime syndicate, the Biden family. This is a crime syndicate. And we want no part in your little show over there, you know, trying to get to the bottom of it, trying to expose it all. No, we're here to protect the president. All right. We're the Department of Justice. We are here to do two things: protect Biden and stop Donald Trump. That's what our charge is. That's what we're doing. It's what our charge has been apparently since 2016. That's what we're about. So it's cute that you want to continue the investigation, but don't look to us to cooperate. Ongoing investigation. What are you going to do? Republicans, of course, have long probed the foreign business dealings of President Biden's family and their associates, but have so far not produced evidence that the president directly benefited from those dealings or knew any details. The president has denied knowledge of Hunter Biden's business activities. In the past several weeks, of course, the Republicans have seized on an FBI tip that President Biden was involved in a bribery scheme with a foreign national. The tip came from what lawmakers in both parties describe as a credible source with secondhand knowledge of the allegation, but has not been verified. Now, I believe this person's credible. And the reason why I think we can agree he's credible is because the Department of Justice, with all the leaks they have in there, I mean, that place leaks like a sieve, right? So if they had any way to destroy the credibility of that person who came forward in that DD classified form, if they had the ability to destroy that person's credibility, don't you think they would have done it by now? Of course they would have. We found out, lo and behold, even though the FBI tried to hold from us that in a 1023 form that people have said that they had to pay the president's family money for favors. They referenced financial records obtained by Republicans that they say showed millions of dollars moving through shell companies and benefiting members of the president's family. The records did not show money flowing to President Biden himself. Comer said this was a sweetheart deal to Hunter Biden, a slap on the wrist, and that his committee is going to plow ahead with his investigation into Hunter Biden despite the recent developments. He said, quote, Hunter Biden is getting away with a slap on the wrist when growing evidence uncovered by the House Oversight Committee reveals the Bidens engage in a pattern of corruption, influence peddling, and possibly bribery. These charges against Hunter Biden and sweetheart plea deal have no impact on the Oversight Committee's investigation. We will not rest until the full extent of President Biden's involvement in the family schemes are revealed. Now, we all know Hunter Biden's guilty. We know that. You know that. I know that. But the question is, can we prove that Joe Biden's guilty? And it's interesting how they were getting close. I think the timing of this also works in tandem with that confidential source who came forward, the confidential human source in that 1023 forum, who said there's audio recordings. It all goes back to this guy in Ukraine who says he had to pay bribes to the Bidens, this Lechevsky guy. And he says there's tape, there's audio. Good Lordy, I hope there's tapes. Well, there are. And so all this stuff starts coming out. And if you remember, the FBI said to Comer and the ranking member, Jamie Raskin, we're not going to let you look at this form. It's highly secure. We can't allow the name of this classified human source to be revealed, so we're not going to let you see it. And then finally they relented, and they said you could view it in a SCIF, right? You view it in a secure location. But don't you think if there was no merit to this that they would not be taking these precautions? If there was no merit to what the confidential human source was saying about the link to the Bidens and Hunter Biden and Ukraine and Burisma, they would have just easily turned around and said, this guy is nothing. This is a lunatic. Don't worry about it. You have nothing to worry about here. Let it go. And they would have leaked the name, would have been all over the news. Everybody would have known, and the media would have done their usual thing of trashing the person. The unholy triad of the corporate media, big tech, and the government would have all worked together to trash the hell out of that confidential human source if there was no merit to anything he was saying. His identity would have absolutely been leaked by now. And they would have pointed out how he beats his wife and how he's a drunk and how he lost money on the ponies. And they would have done all these things. The fact that they haven't tells me everything we need to know, which is this guy is credible. There's something to what he's saying. There's truth there. And it links to Joe Biden in Ukraine as vice president of the United States of America. And that is the big guy. Joe Biden is the 10% for the big guy. And if you think about it, this entire movement today to protect Hunter Biden from any real federal charges, the slap on the wrist that they're giving him to avoid prison time, avoid jail time, also means there's nothing that Hunter Biden has to give up. That's another key point of this. If they would have thrown the book at him and said, we're coming after you with 37 different charges, and they could have thrown the book at Hunter Biden, then maybe Hunter would have gotten nervous and maybe he would have sold out some people. People with knowledge of other things. And then those people might have gotten indicted. And then those people might have sold out other people. And that's how you bring down a syndicate. It's how you bring down a crime family. Use the RICO statutes. You talk about how they have this organized conspiracy among several members of an organization to make money illegally. And then you crack it. All you need is one person to turn and that's it. But you do that by going after people. You don't do that by giving them a slap on the wrist. You don't do that by wearing kid gloves and saying to them, it's all good. Don't worry. Misdemeanor charges. You'll never see the inside of a jail. And the gun thing, we're going to let you go into a pretrial intervention program that we never let people do. So there's no reason for you to plead to anything. You have a plea. We're starting you with a plea. You don't need to plea if you're starting with a plea. You do a plea if you are looking at serious jail time. That alone tells you how this is just a bunch of BS. The reason why people wind up cooperating with the government 9 times out of 10 is because they're scared about going to prison for the rest of their lives. If you take that off the table, as the government has just done, there's no reason for them to cooperate. And then when the government comes out and puts in their statement, they say, well, the investigation's still ongoing. As if to give false hope to some people out there, maybe thinking that more is to come. Nothing else is going to come of this. Nothing. But as long as they can say that, they can stonewall Congress and turn around and go, sorry, nothing we can do here. It's a shameful day in America. It really is. It's a shameful day to see what has become of this Department of Justice. I've long said on my afternoon show in Philadelphia, where I host 3 to 7 afternoon drive, I've long said that we in the United States of America, we live in a police state. That is not hyperbole. I don't say that for the sake of saying it. I say it because the definition of a police state is when the government uses its law enforcement powers for politics. To either censor the opposition, to politically prosecute the opposition, and to cover for their friends, to protect their friends, to protect the powerful, protect the elites, protect their people. And that's exactly what we see with this Department of Justice. We see a Department of Justice that is being used and has been to protect the Bidens and go after Trump. That is exactly what a police state is. And we saw that in 2016 as they worked to help Hillary Clinton and then they worked to defeat Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton, you know, whenever you bring up the whole issue of her and the classified documents, everybody always says the same thing. James Comey came out and said no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute. He decided that Hillary Clinton should be given a pass because of the fact that she didn't have the intent to harm the United States of America. Well, nobody has suggested Donald Trump had the intent to do any harm to the United States of America. Nobody suggested that he was looking to give secrets to our enemies. He was looking to hurt our country. He was trying to sell things on eBay, you know, sell the nuclear codes on eBay to the highest bidder. None of those things. So using the Hillary Clinton standard, using the standard that they used for Joe Biden and Mike Pence, who also had classified documents, there should not be charges against the former president. But this is why we have a two-tier justice system. They can turn around literally to one person and say, we're not going to charge you. And then to another person for the exact same thing, they're going to say, oh, we're going to charge you under the Espionage Act. And don't forget, Donald Trump didn't destroy any documents. One of the charges is that he's accused of moving boxes around in a way to kind of, I guess, well, they're saying that's obstruction of justice. But Hillary Clinton literally destroyed things. Remember, she wiped her server clean, you know, with a cloth. Beach blit. She did those things, and yet no charges against her. And this is the problem. This is why people have lost faith in our country's justice system. It's why here we are right now in this situation. And it's a damn shame. This is the statement that the White House put out today regarding Hunter Biden, the president and the first lady, and how they stand by their son, what they believe for Hunter, what they want for him for the future. Cut 22.
Well, this is a statement from the White House spokesman who handles these sorts of matters, investigations and so forth. And what they're saying is that the president and first lady love their son and support him as he continues to rebuild his life. We will have no further comment.
There you go. No further comment. We stand by our son. So they went from the president saying Hunter has done nothing wrong to they still continue to support their son as he rebuilds his life. And luckily for him, he'll be able to rebuild his life outside of prison. How helpful. Must be nice, right? Must be nice to know people in high places like your dad, who's the president of the United States of America, and a Department of Justice that is dedicated to protecting him and going after his enemies. This is The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana on a very, very busy Tuesday. Don't go away.
When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Patriot.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
So as we continue on the show today on the Dana Show, I just keep thinking to myself, man, you know, this is going to be a very, very challenging time for the Republicans, because if they don't come up with some real hard answers here, I think people are just going to completely lose faith. I do. They're going to lose faith. Because they're so tired of looking at a justice system that gives some people a pass and then prosecutes others. So the heat's going to be on James Comer, the chairman of the committee. No question about it. Welcome back. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana today on a busy day as they announced Hunter Biden has agreed to plead guilty to two slap-on-the-wrist charges and also then to enter a pre-trial intervention program on the gun charge. And it's such a joke. It really is. It's laughable. The Republicans say it's a slap on the wrist because it is a slap on the wrist. And they should be angry about it. They are angry and they should be. But luckily, they have the oversight function. I mean, that's the good news. The good news in this is that we have the oversight, and they can do something about it via Congress. And if there's any links to the president of the United States here, then they need to find it. They need to do everything they possibly can. They do not relent, do not give up, and keep going. Nobody should have ever believed that there was ever going to be justice in this country for Hunter Biden, the kind of justice he deserves, whereas the book gets thrown at him. It was never going to happen. That's why for months now we've been talking about having a special counsel look into the Hunter Biden issue, look into connections with his father, look into all these things. It's the only way you ever would have received any version of impartial justice. But since that's not going to happen, and never was, Merrick Garland was never going to appoint a special counsel. Let's understand who Merrick Garland is. He is a guy who's very disgruntled. He wanted to be on the Supreme Court. And he's angry that Republicans never even gave him a hearing after Obama nominated him. He's angry. And so for that reason, this guy is hell-bent on getting his political revenge. And how does he get his political revenge? By using his Department of Justice for political purposes. That's how. He doesn't turn around and say to people, you know what, I'm going to be impartial here. If he was going to be impartial, then what he would have done is he would have said, we're going to have a special counsel look into the president's son. I can't guarantee to the American people that my Justice Department can be, in fact, blind here. It's the boss's kid. It's the boss's kid. I mean, you know how it is. If you work at a company and your boss has an idiot son who he keeps bringing to the workplace all the time, and as much as you want to get rid of the guy, you can't. You know, maybe he's the idiot in the mailroom. Maybe the idiot son who walks around with those old mail carts like they used to have in the shows and the movies. But he's a moron, and you know he's a moron, but he's the boss's kid. What are you going to do? So, you know, you mutter under your breath about it, but, you know, you're stuck. He's not going anywhere. Well, same thing in this situation. For everybody in the Department of Justice, this is the boss's kid. And, yeah, he's a crackhead, and he's got all kinds of pictures of him and his junk with hookers and passed out in pools in Vegas, but he's still the boss's kid. And even though we know he did all these things, and he did do all these things, and other people have gone to prison for even less than Hunter Biden's done, he's still the boss's kid. And you can't get around that fact. The only way you could have is if you had a special counsel that could have looked into this so we could have the absolute real application of justice. But that was never going to happen. All right, we got a big second hour coming up here on The Dana Show. Stick with me. I'll give you the latest on what Trump said to Brett Baer. The missing sub, so much more to come. Don't go away.
Want to win a free laptop? To celebrate the 300th episode of the Tech It Out radio show and podcast, where I break down geek speak into street speak each week, we're giving away an Asus ZenBook 14 laptop. To be eligible to win, you need to be in the continental US, at least 18 years of age, and simply post the hashtag Tech It Out on your favorite social media platform. A name will be randomly chosen in a week. Good luck, and thank you for tuning in to Tech It Out on your favorite podcast platform.
So do scientists who work at the Wuhan Institute of Virology typically fall off the roof and die? What do you think? Does that normally happen? Good afternoon. Welcome to The Dana Show. It is me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana today. It's great to be with you on a busy news day. Spent the first hour on Hunter Biden. I'll return to Hunter Biden, of course, before the show is out today. But there's some other stories making news. And one of them that really catches my attention, you know, the government has been working to censor speech in this country in a big way. And the way they do it, of course, is they get the social media companies to think it's their idea, but it's not their idea. It's the government's idea. And they censor you. And whether it's you or it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr., YouTube just took down a bunch of videos of an interview he did with Dr. Jordan Peterson because they said it was vaccine misinformation. So they take these videos down. If you were ever somebody who questioned the origins of COVID-19, you thought maybe it came from a laboratory, not an undercooked bat burger like me, for example, they would have censored you. They would have hid your post. They would have made it go away. They would have made it disappear. And as time goes on and we learn more about this and how the government worked with big tech and worked with the corporate media to figure out the message that they wanted, and then anybody who contradicts that message, their posts are, well, they disappear, quite frankly. And now we know that the earliest cases of COVID-19 really happened in the fall of 2019. We've always kind of known this because the military world games were held in China, in Wuhan, in the fall of 2019, and a bunch of people got sick. And so that's why people said, wait a minute. This is not a new virus in 2020. This is, we've seen this before. And that's true, they did. And that's because the virus came out around that time in 2019. So then it was confirmed that, yes, the very first people who got sick were, in fact, the people that were working on the virus back in the fall of 2019. And so the question becomes, what about the scientists who were working on this? What happened to them? And then a question that's a very important question that was posed at National Review today, do Wuhan Institute of Virology scientists often fall from the building's roof? Is this a normal occurrence for them? This one guy who was working on the vaccine for COVID back in November of 2019. He's working on the vaccine for COVID-19 in November of 2019. Now, what about that stands out in your opinion? Right away, what stands out for me is the fact that COVID had not yet become a global pandemic. It was about to, but it had not yet. They're working on this in the laboratory, which should tell you everything you need to know. They're what they were doing. They were working on this virus in the laboratory. Next thing you know, global pandemic. Obviously, it came from the laboratory. It's not a coincidence. Like, well, at the same time they were working on this in the laboratory, somebody also bit into an undercooked bat and then set off a pandemic. And it's just, oh, what a coincidence. No, of course not. It always came from the lab. We know this. But this scientist who was working on this, one of the doctors there, who worked for the People's Liberation Army and was collaborating with Wuhan scientists at the time of the outbreak, died in mysterious circumstances in May of 2020 at 54 years old. U.S. investigators are said to have been told that he fell from the roof of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, though this has not been confirmed. And it never will be confirmed. Just like you'll never be able to confirm that COVID-19 actually came from a lab. But you know, and I know, we all know it did. Maybe the guy was just checking out the view. You know, maybe he liked to go feed the pigeons on the roof of the WIV. And, you know, you're feeding the pigeons, you get a little too close to the edge, and then, boom, you know, you fall over and you're dead. And that's certainly possible. Maybe he was up there and it was a very breezy day. I don't know how much the man weighed. Maybe perhaps he was very fit and trim, maybe a little underweight. Big breeze came, knocked him off the roof. Boom, cracks his head open, and he's dead, allegedly. Possible. That could have happened, too. Of course, he also could have been thrown off the roof and murdered to keep him quiet, because dead men don't talk, especially after they've been thrown off a roof. That's also a possibility as well. I don't think you could rule that one out. You want to keep that one open as a possibility. November 2019 also appears to be the time frame that the People's Liberation Army researchers began development of at least two SARS-CoV-2 vaccines. People's Liberation Army Professor Zhao Yusen, director of the 5th Institute at the Academy of Military Medical Sciences, worked with the WIV and possibly at the WIV for several years prior to the pandemic. Zhu and these military medical science researchers may have been working at the Wuhan Institute of Virology no later than the fall of 2019, conducting research for a paper that he co-authored with two researchers, Shi Xing Li and Chen Jing. What the paper concluded was the known adverse effects of SARS-related vaccines and antibody treatments. This guy was engaged in SARS-related coronavirus and animal vaccine research at the WIV in the summer or early fall of 2019. And the patent that he submitted for a COVID-19 vaccine was on February 24th, 2020. We were just getting started back then with the vaccine, with the pandemic. February of 2020, we're just getting started. I remember, too, because the Chinese ambassador from China to the United States was on with Margaret Brennan on CBS News, and he was saying, it's very racist to suggest this came from a lab. We don't know. It probably came from the wet market. And yet, in February of 2020, the scientists there had already had a patent on the vaccine for COVID. Well, how could they have done that if the virus was yet to be or had just been released because somebody noshed down on some bat crackers at the wet market? You know what I mean? Somebody rips the head off a bat, drinks its blood. Next thing you know, it's a global pandemic. And then what, a couple weeks later, they just happen to come up with a vaccine just like that, but yet they don't tell the world. The patent includes mouse-derived serological data from vaccine-related experiments, which experts consulted with during the investigation could not have been completed unless Zhao's team began work on vaccine development before the known outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic in late December of 2019. They would have had to be working on this for a long time prior to this. In other words, they were working on this in the laboratory, and then it got out of the laboratory. But the other reason why I bring this up to you is because right now, we all see China is not our friend. And the fact that the Chinese the People's Liberation Army, the Chinese military, was working at the Wuhan Institute of Virology on this virus tells me they were trying to make a bioweapon. And that means that Tom Cotton has always been right about this. Very early on, in I think it was January of 2020, Tom Cotton came out and said, this is probably a bioweapon from China. And you remember the American media's reaction. They said, oh, how dare you? Oh, what a racist jerk you are. Come on. How can you say that? But he was right, and he's still right. And what we know is that the Chinese military was working on this. And I think the reason why they were working on a vaccine was they were hoping that they could inoculate their own people and then use the virus around the world. But I don't think it worked out the way they thought it would. Clearly not. But I don't think it's an accident that it got out of the lab either. We always talk about the lab leak in the context of it being an oopsie, like whoops, walked out with that virus on the bottom of my shoe. And it could have been, no question about it. Because the reality is that this was a very, very insecure biosafety facility. They never should have been there. They never should have been doing the work at that level. And it's entirely possible they made a huge mistake. Absolutely. But the other problem, though, with that theory is that China made an innocent mistake and then did nothing about it as they sent their people around the world. Don't forget that. China was locking down, but also sending people around the world. So what if China let the virus leak out of the lab on purpose? Maybe they thought that their people would not get sick from it, and they thought this would be something that they could absolutely use as a weapon in their arsenal, even though the bioweapons are prohibited around the world. But you think China follows the rules on that? Of course not. Of course they don't. They never will. They never would. China's not our friend. But I think you'd have to be an idiot at this point to think that COVID came from an undercooked bat burger at a wet market. It clearly came from a lab. But there's so much about the issue with China that deserves a lot of conversation, particularly the fact that when the United States Secretary of State went there, China viewed a meeting for him as a concession. They believe that they, China, made a concession for us, the United States of America. That's what they believe. And they believe that we owe them something now. We owe them. You know, we owe China. They did a solid by us. And now we got to give them something in return. We still don't have this back channel conversation with China regarding our militaries. So if something goes wrong, we still have no way to really talk to them about it. And of course, in this entire conversation, the question about Joe Biden having, well, let's say being owned by China, still is something that we have to talk about too. Because I believe it, and I think you believe it. I think we all know that Joe Biden's compromised by China. That's why he's never tough on China. Donald Trump was. Trump was tough on China. Trump was tough on Russia to the point that as much as he was accused of being a Russian stooge, Vladimir Putin never invaded Ukraine when Trump was president. He leaves the White House and then Putin invades Ukraine. And Joe Biden gives Ukraine everything that they possibly want here. What does Ukraine have on Joe Biden? It's also a question that's worth exploring. But in the context of China and thinking about where we stand with them right now and how they're spying on us in this base in Cuba, We have confirmation now that the Biden administration knows that down in Cuba, they have a Chinese spy base where they can actually intercept signal communications from Washington, D.C. These are highly classified communications. And we know this. And we've known this for quite some time now. In fact, I was in New York the other day and I saw there was a restaurant. It was a Cuban Chinese fusion restaurant. And I thought to myself, it sounds delicious because I actually love both cuisines. I love Chinese food. And I love Cuban food. And I thought if you put them together, it sounds amazing. Chinese Cuban cuisine sounds great. But as a spy base, not so much. It's a little too close to home. If you ask me, it's a little too close to home. But we have not brought up COVID-19 with China. We're not going to. China is in high-level talks for a military training facility in Cuba to station troops offshore of the United States of America. That's the next thing that they're looking to do right now. China and Cuba have reportedly engaged in high-level discussions to establish a new joint military training facility on the island, raising the prospect of Beijing stationing troops less than 100 miles off the coast of the United States of America. You know, if you ever go to Key West, and I highly recommend you do, it's a lot of fun. I've been down there a couple of times. I love Key West. It's just a very fun, free vibe. You know, you feel free in Key West. I mean, I know it's a big, there's a lot of lefties there, but still, you just feel a little bit sense of freedom. The weather's great, obviously, and you can go to the southernmost point. You can see where Cuba is, 90 miles away. And yeah, we might have Chinese troops there very, very soon. Wall Street Journal reported today that U.S. intelligence suggests talks about a facility on Cuba's northern coast are at an advanced stage but not concluded, as the Biden administration has contacted Cuban officials to stall the agreement and dissuade any course of action due to concerns the communist nation might have about ceding sovereignty. It could be fun, huh? It could be fun to have Chinese troops on Cuba. Why not? These two communist countries, their cuisine tastes great together. When they spy on the United States of America, not so much, but 100 miles off the coast, what could possibly go wrong, right? You see why we are truly in a cold war with China at this point. No question about it. We truly are, and this administration is never going to get us out of it because they don't respect this president. They're not afraid of this president, and China answers to strength. The only way to deal with China is to make them respect strength and to fear us. And this president does not do that. China laughs at us. And I think Blinken's visit was a mistake. I think going down there and kowtowing to him was a mistake. I always like diplomacy and I want people to talk, but I think this was a mistake because China feels like they gave us something in return. They feel like we owe them now. And I don't know what the hell we got out of this. This visit by Blinken to China was completely unproductive. Some might say even counterproductive. This is the Dana Show on a busy Tuesday afternoon. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
In fact, the New York Post editorialized Blinken's trip to China, and essentially they said it was a policy at this point right now of appeasement with China. Yeah, I mean, it's this is where we are right now. They said Secretary of State Antony Blinken and the White House claimed to be pleased by the trip to Beijing. President Xi Jinping actually met with him and agreed to continue talking. Thing is, it seems China will only design to keep talking as long as Washington keeps appeasing it with actual concessions. Blinken didn't even get the central ask, which is restoring military-to-military communication channels that Beijing cut last year. I'll have more on this for you, but it's that time of the show where we do this.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Indeed it is. And 14,000 pounds of cocaine worth $186 million were seized in international waters by the United States Coast Guard. That's a lot of blow, if you know what I mean. It's a lot of cocaine. And the only question I could ask is Hunter missing any of that? I would wonder, and we should probably ask him. Four people were killed and dozens injured in chaotic night of mass shootings across the country on Juneteenth. It was not a very good day for the holiday as a kickoff because there was just so much violence across the country. Where? Well, of course, you know the answer to this. Places like Chicago, Philadelphia, other Democrat-run blue cities. If you want to rent Walt Disney's former California home, you can do so. Maybe even get inspired by the magic of the man who brought the mouse to the big screen. It'll cost you $40,000 a month to rent Walt Disney's home. But think about it, though. You get bragging rights forever with all the nerds who go to Disney World all the time and adults who wear mouse ears. They will think you're an absolute hero. It's got its own movie theater that Disney used to screen his productions in. You could play those movies now and point out all the things about them that woke is unhappy with. You know, what should have a warning label on it, what should be canceled, what should be re-edited, reshot, remade. You can do all those things in the very theater that Walt Disney himself once sat in. So I think you should think about that right now. It might work for you. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I did not mention to you that as we're talking about this submarine that's gone missing, the price tag for people to go in this thing was $250,000 a person to be on the sub that was about 21 feet long. It's a lot of dough. Of course, we all hope that they work out okay, but just a whole lot of cash here. And finally, if you are thinking about an American beer, Yuengling is America's oldest brewery. Selena Zito highlighted how Yuengling, ever since the Bud Light backlash, has come out and said, we are an American family-owned beer, and their sales have gone up unlike Bud Light, down 25%. This is The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Indeed, it is The Dana Show. Great to be with you. A busy day today, of course, with the Hunter Biden charges. You can follow me on Twitter if you like, at Rich Zeoli, R-I-C-H-Z-E-O-L-I. I host the afternoon drive show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia, which is one of Dana's many affiliates across the country. You can always listen to it on the Odyssey platform as well. And just to refresh your memory, in case you're just joining us for the show, big charges today against Hunter Biden. If by big you mean an absolute slap on the wrist and letting him get away with all of it, then yes, big charges. Tax and gun charges, two tax misdemeanor things he'll plead guilty to, and a pretrial intervention on the gun form charge. And it will be completely gone from his record eventually, and he'll do no jail time for that either. And he's let off the hook by a Department of Justice that is doing everything it possibly can to try to stop his father's chief political opponent and make sure that Joe Biden faces absolutely no political headwinds whatsoever. But even though the Department of Justice is helping Joe Biden, the real question is, does that mean Joe Biden's going to be the nominee? I'm curious how you feel about this. I have been spending a lot of time lately listening and thinking and watching California Governor Gavin Newsom. And this guy's everywhere. I mean, this guy with his beautiful cropped hair, I mean, this guy spends a lot of money on hair gel. You know what I mean? A lot of money on hair gel. Gavin Newsom's out there all the time. And he's just doing interview after interview, pretending he's some glorious moderate. He's not a moderate, by the way. California's a hellhole. And Governor Ron DeSantis is right to point that out as he tours Florida right now. Tours California right now. I mean, California's gone to hell. It's such a shame, too. It's a beautiful state. It really is. But the liberal policies of Gavin Newsom and other Democrats throughout the country have created this, and not just California, but other blue states. But California is, it's such a shame. I mean, people love San Francisco. Used to be a great American city. Now businesses are closing up left and right. You would never want to be in San Francisco at this point. You wouldn't. I mean, it's just people stop going there. Hotels are having huge amounts of vacancy rates. Businesses are moving out. People are saying, business owners, they don't feel safe anymore. It did not have to be like this. But the question is, will Gavin Newsom run for president of the United States of America? Will he decide to take on the Democrat machine? The answer is only if they let him. He will do what he's told. He's a team player. And by team player, I mean somebody who's willing to be controlled by the establishment that controls this country, the Democrat Party. Now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., however, is not that kind of guy. This is a guy who will not do what he's told. This is why he's such a threat to them. The question becomes, when do they decide Joe Biden just simply cannot do this? And when do they pull the trigger and take him out? I don't mean actually pull a trigger. I mean, from the proverbial, pull the trigger and pull him out of the race. When do they do that? That's the question. And I also wonder if part of the reason why they slapped Hunter Biden on the wrist was because Joe Biden is going to get out of the race at some point. They want him gone. They think he's going to lose. They're worried he's going to lose to Donald Trump. And they are very, very nervous about giving up their power. They're worried about having a guy like Trump come in. They're worried about a guy like him coming in and pulling out of Ukraine. There's a lot of money on the table with Ukraine, as you know. The pharmaceutical industry does not want any challenges. They're worried about that. RFK Jr. is a threat to all of those big establishment monsters like Big Pharma, the war machine, and they're trying to stop him in every way they possibly can. If he runs third party, it's going to be a major problem for Joe Biden. It absolutely will be. And if they think that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. can get the kind of traction to actually stop a Joe Biden, then they'll make this switch happen even sooner. The problem for them, though, is Kamala Harris. They have a Kamala Harris problem in the Democrat Party. You have the first black woman on a ticket in presidential history. You can't just simply now get rid of her because woke will go crazy. You replace her and then she thinks that she's the heir apparent. If Joe Biden's not running and then you take her out and you put in a white guy named Gavin Newsom, oh, please, woke will not be happy with that. Not at all. You kidding me? They'll be so angry. They'll be so upset. But the question becomes, how do they stop RFK Jr.? And the way they're trying to do that is to paint him as a crackpot. They want to say that he's a crackpot, and they want to argue that he's the kind of person who should not be taken seriously. The problem for him, though, is that he's saying a lot of things that people may have thought was crazy years ago. But nowadays, after everything we've been through with COVID, a lot of people are listening to what he has to say. I mean, Democrats are listening to what he has to say. And Democrats are going, yeah, why are we the party of war? That's all about being in Ukraine for as long as it takes, for whatever it takes, with no budget, no oversight on the money, nothing. You know, maybe we should not have had vaccine mandates. Maybe that was a mistake for us to do as Democrats. All these things that are happening right now are happening because of how unpopular Joe Biden is. So then Joe Rogan, who's a podcaster, of course you know who Joe Rogan is. Joe Rogan was going to have a debate between vaccine researcher Peter Hotez and Democrat presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Wanted to have a debate about vaccines. And it's lit up the internet over the last couple of days. Rogan made the offer because Hotez attacked Rogan for having Kennedy on his podcast and accused him of spreading misinformation. So Joe Rogan was giving him a chance to explain what he thought the misinformation was. He actually offered him $100,000 to his favorite charity if he did debate Kennedy without any time limit to make his points. He was going to allow his entire show to be turned over to them, to have a debate about vaccines, have a legitimate debate on vaccines and have it out. Well, Hotez has said, no, he's not doing it. He won't do it. No interest. He's not doing it. And so people have turned around and said, wait a second. You're supposed to be a scientist. Why are you so afraid of having a debate? You believe so strongly in these things. What are you running from? Why won't you have a debate? Why won't you have the argument with him? You say the guy's a kook. Well, then prove it. You say the guy's a kook, then sit down with him, have a conversation. Let's hear why. And he's not going to do it. In fact, he's even talking about now of leaving Twitter to get away. Because he says right now at this point, I don't want to have anything to do with misinformation. But I think the American people are very skeptical about the concept of misinformation because we were lied to so much about COVID. We were told lockdowns would be effective and they would stop people from getting the virus. We were told the vaccines would stop transmission. We were told masks for our kids would be just fine and dandy and the kids would love them. The kids would love masks. Now we see the learning loss. We see how we have a major mental health crisis in this country with our young people because of the isolation they felt because of COVID. We have heard so many of the government's lies, and then a guy like RFK Jr. comes around and says, let's have a debate. And I think that there's never been a time like right now for people to say, what I once thought was misinformation, I'm at least now open to the idea of believing that possibly, just possibly now, this might be real. And I'm not saying it is. I'm saying people want to hear. They want to hear the information. The other reason why is because when YouTube takes down Robert F. Kennedy Jr. talking to Joe Rogan, when they take this stuff down and say it's misinformation, and we saw how they did that during COVID, people turn around and go, why are you censoring people? What are you afraid of? Let the marketplace of ideas have it out. If the ideas are crazy, then that will come to light. But when you censor ideas, when you take things down, all you do is make me want to go watch it and listen to it and find out what do they not want me to know? What are they hiding from me? What is it that if people heard this would be a threat to them, to their control, their establishment control? There's even a point now about monkeypox, too. Monkeypox advisor Dimitri Daskalakis talking about monkeypox and HIV. When you think monkeypox, think HIV. And I don't know. I mean, this is the kind of thing you think about. You hear this guy say this and you go, well, but can't we just have an honest conversation about who's likely to get monkeypox? And if you want to protect people from that, you just be transparent and you be truthful about that. And you just say what actually is risky behavior and you tell people to stay away from something for their own good, unless that's now become politically correct. You know, monkeypox, your chances of getting it go up exponentially if you have sex with another man. If you're a man who has sex with men, it goes up tremendously. But we're not allowed to say that for some reason in this country. And in fact, you've got the monkeypox advisor actually saying that what the Biden administration is trying to do is not say any of the behavior is actually risky. Let's start with cut number 11.
I work in HIV normally, and I'll tell you that, you know, I always say that I've never made an HIV diagnosis in someone that hasn't somehow related to stigma. I think Mpox is the same. So really, stigma tends to be a barrier to testing, a barrier to vaccination. And so, you know, really addressing stigma intentionally and making sure that we get the word out in a way that supports people's joy as opposed to, you know, calling them risky. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, one of the things to think about is that, you know, one person's idea of risk is another person's idea of a great festival or Friday night.
So we don't say risky, all right? We don't like to do that. We want to hear your joy, even if your joy leads you to getting Mpox. Well, they don't call it monkeypox anymore. I forgot. That's politically incorrect. They say Mpox, which is stupid. It sounds like a bad Hanson song, if you ask me. Here's Hanson. You know, they have that Mbop song. I hear Mpox. I think Mbop is what I hear in my head. And now you're going to have that in your head all day. I apologize. My bad. Cut 12.
Think Mpox. Think HIV. When you think sexual health, think both. When you think pride, think joy and happiness, but also say, like, I need to kick my tires and check my oil to make sure that I have my sexual health care, like, lined up.
I don't even understand any of that. But I do know, though, that people are so sick of being told what is real and what isn't real that you've paved the way now for a guy like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to come around. And they're terrified of him. There was a headline that was in the Los Angeles Times. It said, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a threat to your health and our democracy, it says. Our democracy. They don't like anybody that goes outside the lines here. That is a challenge to anyone to people making money, let's be honest. I mean, there's a lot of money at stake in the pharmaceutical industry. We don't really have oversight of big pharma in this country. We have an FDA and a CDC that exists as a revolving door. People go to work there and the pay is marginal, you know, but they know they can cash out one day and make buku bucks with the pharmaceutical companies. Oh, yeah, it's all there. You just have to look at it. But it's people make money, big time money. So that he's a threat to that. But I think Biden is in trouble. I think Biden's in trouble. And I would not be surprised if at some point they swap him out. But Kamala Harris is so deeply unpopular, that's the hesitation. Let's face it, if Kamala Harris were popular, or if his running mate was Gavin Newsom, he would have been gone by now. Oh, absolutely, no question about it. The Kamala Harris problem is such a problem for them because A, they don't know what to do with her, and B, they don't want her running. So they got to figure that out. You know, that's why you always hear these conspiracy theories about, well, maybe Michelle Obama will get in the race. You know, maybe they'll put her on the ticket. Because then maybe Michelle Obama can release them from the problem they have with woke, which is getting rid of the first woman who's black as the vice president, kicking her off to the curb, and then getting another white guy to be the party's nominee. Democrats view everything through the lens of color and skin and race and gender and sexual orientation and gender identity. They don't look at people in any other way from that. You're always in a category, multiple categories. That's the Democrats' problem right now. All right, this is the Dana Show as we're kicking it in high gear here on a Tuesday afternoon, big breaking news day. Hunter Biden gets a slap on the wrist. The Republicans vow they are not going to give up as they pursue the investigation into Joe Biden using their oversight powers in the House of Representatives. We're coming right back.
If you had to take care of some lefty trying to outsmart you in the Walmart parking lot and missed any portion of today's show, download the latest Dana Show podcast on your preferred podcast platform.
Yes, indeed. As we continue along here on the Dana Show, it's great to be with you today. You can follow me on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. If you like, you can tune in this afternoon. I'll be on 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern time on WPHD in Philadelphia, where, of course, we are one of Dana's many affiliates across the country. So it's great to hang out with you in this afternoon. Big story today still is Hunter Biden, obviously. The reaction across the board, unanimous essentially from everyone saying this is a slap on the wrist and a joke, as our Department of Justice has completely become weaponized. I'll touch on this again in the 2 o'clock hour, I should say, coming up in just a few moments. But is that part of the show, Steve, where we do this?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
You know, this guy, I can understand this. I mean, in Philadelphia, traffic is a nightmare, especially because 95 is out of commission right now. You know, we had that big tanker explosion. So Interstate 95, you got to go around it, and it's a whole big pain in the neck. So I completely understand. I've been late for work a few times, and I got to be on the air. So I can't really just stumble in a few minutes late. I got to, you know, when the show starts at 3, I got to be on the air at 3. Filling in for Dana, I got to be on the air at 12. Eastern time, of course. Well, this Florida man, I actually have sympathy for this guy. He was arrested over the weekend for allegedly driving well over 100 miles an hour because he was late for work. I get it. I understand. James Lloyd was arrested and booked on a reckless driving charge after he was clocked speeding down U.S. 27 in the Dundee-Winter Haven area, Florida. 22-year-old guy driving a 2015 Ford Mustang, allegedly weaving in through traffic, an unmarked deputy clocked him going well over the 50-mile-an-hour speed limit. He was pulled over. He repeatedly said he was late for work and apologized to the deputy for speeding. He said he was late for work. He apologized, which is nice and far better than having to apologize to a family after killing a loved one because you're driving recklessly, deputies wrote on Facebook. The Mustang was towed. He was taken into custody because that is a very unsafe speed to drive at over 100 miles an hour. I don't know if they arrested him for that. He looks like the kind of upstanding citizen that might have been wanted on something else as well, possibly, maybe. Just maybe there might have been something else there in his background. This is another story I have from Florida. This one is in Clearwater, home of the Philadelphia Phillies in their spring training. I love going down to Clearwater for spring training. Well, the woman was found, she had a bag, and police searched her belongings during a bicycle stop. They found drugs, but they also found a raccoon. They also found a baby raccoon in her bag. According to the Clearwater Police Department, 43-year-old Lindsay Rodewald, so I guess this is Florida woman, unless she identifies as a Florida man. It's very possible. I don't know. Was stopped while riding her bicycle, which did not have lights on during night. When speaking with police, she gave them verbal consent to search her backpack. Officers found a broken glass pipe with crystal residue, a little crystal meth, you know what I mean? A field test indicated the presence of methamphetamines. And then she told the police department she forgot the pipe was in her bag and that she used meth a few days prior. And then they did a little more digging. They found the baby raccoon in her backpack. Police said it was around a week old. The little critter was taken to the veterinary emergency group in Tampa, Florida. It will be cared for alongside other young raccoons before being released into the wild. Isn't that sweet? Little pet raccoon. So cute. So cute and cuddly until they get bigger and then they scratch your eyes out. And, of course, make a mess in the trash. You know, raccoons are nasty. I'm just telling you. If you ever see one during the daytime, be very careful. That usually means the guy's got rabies, all right? Or the gal. I don't know. I don't want to assume the gender of the raccoon here. And finally, a Florida man was charged after nearly 20 tinfoil-wrapped phones were found inside his Jeep. They executed a search warrant on his Jeep, and they found 17 cell phones, many of them wrapped in aluminum foil. What do you think that's about, huh? Was it possible he was part of an organized cell phone theft operation? Possibly, maybe. Or maybe he's just worried about the aliens being able to listen to his calls, huh? He was inside the Layer Cake restaurant when it was discovered a $1,200 iPhone was missing from a woman's purse. She was able to track her phone via her Apple Watch to a parking lot behind the restaurant. Cops came, found the guy. Yep. Phone's wrapped in aluminum foil. We'll be right back. This is The Dana Show.
Okay. In 2016, you said that. I'm going to surround myself with only the best and most serious people.
Well, I did do that. This and we time, had tremendous luck. We had the best economy we've ever had. This the world time, has ever seen.
Your Vice President Mike Pence is running against you.
Yeah.
Your Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, she's running against you. Your former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, said he's not supporting you. You mentioned National Security Advisor John Bolton. He's not supporting you either. You mentioned Attorney General Bill Barr, says you shouldn't be president again. Calls you the consummate narcissist and troubled man. You recently called and Barr a gutless pig. Your second defense secretary is not supporting you, called you irresponsible. This week, you and your White House called your White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, weak and ineffective and born with a very small brain. You called your acting White House Chief of Staff, Mick Mulvaney, a born loser. You called your first Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, dumb as a rock. And your first defense secretary, James Mattis, the world's most overrated general. You called your White House Press Secretary, Kayleigh Kennedy, milquetoast. And multiple times you've referred to your Transportation Secretary, Elaine Chao, as Mitch McConnell's China-loving wife. So, why did you hire all of them in the first place?
That was from Fox News last night with Brett Baer. Welcome back to The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, with you from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD in Philadelphia. Great to be with you on this busy day. The question is, did Donald Trump admit to obstruction of justice? That is the question today. And why would he even talk to Bret Baier about all this is the other question today. Now, Ed Morrissey, who's a writer over at hotair.com, posed the question. And what he said was, the first rule of federal indictment club is you don't talk about your case. And the second rule of federal indictment club is you don't talk about your case, period. You hire a good lawyer. You let them talk about your case in public. The surest way to help the prosecution is to go on television and make a damaging admission about the key element of a charge. Now, the question is, during the interview with Bret Baier, did Trump hand prosecutors a doozy by admitting to moving the documents? And this is what I mean here. Trump is charged, among other things, with knowingly engaging in misleading conduct to conceal a record, document, or other object from an official proceeding. Again, misleading conduct to conceal a record, document, and other object from an official proceeding. That's the government's charge. The government alleges that Trump not only took classified papers and delayed returning them when subpoenaed, but lied to his lawyer and the National Archives and Record Administration about which records he had in his possession. Meanwhile, Trump allegedly instructed his co-defendant to hide some of the documents. Now, during the interview yesterday, Trump told Bret Baier that authorities asked him to return the documents he had kept, but he had kept them because he wanted time to go through them. And this is the exchange. Bret Baier says, they said, could you give the documents back? And then they said they went to DOJ to subpoena you to get them back. Trump says, which they've never done before. Bret Baier says, right. Trump says, and in all fairness, Bret Baier says, why not just hand them over then? Trump says, because I had boxes. I want to go through the boxes and get all of my personal things out. Excuse me. I don't want to hand that over to the National Archives yet. And I was very busy, as you've sort of seen. I've been very, very busy. Bret Baier says, but according to the indictment, you then tell this aide to move to other locations after telling your lawyers to say you'd fully comply with the subpoena when you hadn't. Trump says, but before I sent boxes over, I have to take out all of my things. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things, golf shirts, clothing, pants, shoes. There were many things. So the point that Morrissey makes is that Trump doesn't object to Baier's characterization that he had the boxes of documents moved after saying he had fully complied with the subpoenas. That conversation could be viewed as Trump admitting to doing exactly that, offering as justification that he wanted more time to sort through them and get his golf shirt, his golf shoes, etc. Now, this is the reason why we typically don't go after our political enemies in this country. Because when you're running for office, you have to explain yourself. When you explain yourself, you then are also putting yourself into potential political or legal jeopardy. In this manner, Trump is potentially putting himself into legal jeopardy. This is why we don't go after our political enemies. Think about it from your perspective, right? The government's charged you with 37 counts. Your first job is to stay out of prison. You don't want to go to prison. This is a government that if they want to get you, they will get you. If they don't want to get you, like Hunter Biden, they won't get you. It's entirely up to them. There were more than enough things to charge Hunter Biden with that would have put him behind bars for a long time, would have sent him to prison. They didn't want to get him, so they didn't get him. They wanted to get Trump, and so they used the espionage to get Trump. And now Donald Trump is also a presidential candidate. While you or I might devote every ounce of our time, our resources, and our energy to staying out of federal prison, and never saying a word publicly because we don't want to say anything that could hurt our case, Trump is in the unique position of having to explain himself to try to get your vote. And this is a tough place to be. And I understand all these people who are acting like, you know, armchair lawyers, and I'm not an attorney, and they're saying what is true, typically for most people, don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut. The problem is he's a presidential candidate. And people want their presidential candidates to explain themselves, to answer charges for things, whatever those charges are. Morrissey says Trump just made it almost impossible for a jury to believe any denial on these allegations. And his justification here would be too damning in court to say that I had to go and get things out of the boxes. So I told them I was sending everything back, but I really wasn't because I needed more time. By talking publicly, Trump likely ruined a potential defense strategy for his attorneys, and now they will have to work around Trump's public statement on national TV when this case comes to a trial. This is his point that Morrissey makes here. This is the exchange, a little bit of the exchange anyway, with Brett Baer and Donald Trump, cut number 20.
Saying the document was secret, adding that you could have declassified it while you were president, but, quote, now I can't. You know, this is still secret, highly confidential. And the indictment cites the recording and the testimony from people in the room saying you showed it to people there that day. So you say on this, on tape.
It says just the opposite.
That you can't declassify it, so why have it?
When I said that I couldn't declassify it now, that's because I wasn't president. I never made any bones about that. When I'm not president, I can't declassify.
And that's what you said. You didn't declassify it.
I said, no. I said I couldn't
declassify
it. But that wasn't a document. Brett, there was no document. That was a massive amount of papers and everything else talking about Iran and other things.
This idea of this document, which, by the way, they don't even know if the document does exist. And you know Trump with his bluster and his bravado. He may have just been saying that because that's just Trump. But this is the problem, and this is why in America we don't go after our political enemies, because we handicap them. Either they're going to hurt themselves politically or they're going to hurt themselves in their legal defense. It's very difficult to do both at the same time. It's very difficult to explain your actions to voters who are going to make a judgment about electing you, and then at the same time also give yourself the best defense possible, which is saying nothing. You see what I mean? I mean, I'm old school about this. I go back to Goodfellas. You know, you keep your mouth shut. You don't say a damn word about anything. You keep your mouth shut, all right? And you don't rat on your friends, and you keep your mouth shut. That's how you avoid prison. That's how you avoid jail. Anybody who thinks that by talking about their case publicly is going to help them is making a mistake. However, if Trump doesn't talk about it, people may assume he's guilty and then not vote for him. It's why being a presidential candidate is so difficult, and why James Comey did not charge Hillary Clinton for this very reason. And why back then all these blowhards on TV like Morning Joe and other people were saying, we don't prosecute our political enemies in this country because they have to spend time mounting a defense and they can't challenge you politically. Trump is lucky in the sense that he's got the money, he's got the time, he can accomplish both. He can run for president and also pay really good lawyers to go and fight his defense in court. But he's also running for office, and he's a guy that likes to explain himself. And he wants people to know where he stands on these issues, so he starts talking, and in doing so then may jeopardize his defense. I don't envy the position he's in, and I'm not being critical. I'm not. I think it's very easy for other people to say, you got to keep your mouth shut, if they're not running for president, if they're not a candidate for the presidency, who's been charged with something. Look at it this way. If this was an allegation, an allegation of a woman who's come forward, you would expect the candidate to talk about it. If it was an allegation that they engaged in some other bizarre behavior or something else, you'd expect them to talk about it. If they didn't talk about it, you would think, are you guilty? Is that why you're not answering questions about it? So Trump could easily turn around and say, listen, I can't discuss the case because I'm under indictment. But then that may make voters think, well, then he's really guilty. It's because they're just not thinking of the old adage of just don't talk about your case publicly. It's a really tough place to be. And I think that Jonathan Turley put it very, very well when he said that Hunter Biden's plea deal right now reinforces the growing view we have in this country of a two-tiered justice system. I don't think we have a justice system. We have a Department of Justice that is being used for political purposes. It serves to do the bidding of the Democrat Party is what it is. The United States Department of Justice exists right now to do the bidding of the Democrat Party, to help Joe Biden and his friends and to hurt Joe Biden's political enemies, Donald Trump. And think of what they've done here by charging him with these 37 counts and exercising no prosecutorial discretion whatsoever. They have made it impossible for him to be able to run for office and give himself the best defense possible. Now, you could argue people could turn around and say, well, then he should drop out of the race. But then isn't that a bad precedent to set where all we have to do is charge somebody criminally knowing that that will end their presidential chances, that will end their campaign? You don't want to have a country like that. Because it's very easy to come up with an indictment's easy to do. I mean, that's a very low bar. Grand jury proceedings are secret. You don't get a defense attorney in the room. Very easy to do. They're one-sided towards the prosecution. You can indict a ham sandwich, is the old saying. But is that what you want for your country? Where your country can turn around and say, if you're indicted, you should get out of the race because you got to mount your defense, and that should be your first priority. And theoretically, all you got to do is just indict your political enemies. And there's always something that they've done. You can always find something. The average American commits 3 felonies a day that you're not even aware of. 3 federal felonies a day. You don't even realize. So that's where things are right now. Meanwhile, Hunter Biden gets a slap on the wrist and absolutely nothing happens to him. Here's Donald Trump last night with Brett Baer, what he hopes to achieve in his second term, the kind of president he wants to be, cut 19.
What did you learn from your first term that you took from and changes that you would make if you get elected?
I would like to be less combative, but I find the press is extremely dishonest. And if I'm not combative, I don't get my word across. If I'm not combative, I don't know. I don't think you could win. I think regardless, me or somebody else, if somebody else got the nomination, these radical left maniacs would come after them at a level like you've never seen before.
Very good. He wants to be less combative, but I don't think that's in Trump's nature. I think he's going to be combative, and I understand why. You think about everything that he's had to fight here along the way, and it's not going to be any different if DeSantis becomes the nominee. Then DeSantis is still going to be fighting these same forces, too. It's whoever the Republican is. Unless you get one of the people that is going to give them the war that they want, is going to give Big Pharma everything it wants. I mean, if you go along with that, then they will leave you alone to a degree. But to a smaller degree if you're a Republican than a Democrat, obviously. All right, this is the Dana Show. We got a lot more to talk about as we come to our third hour here on the Dana Show with me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana, coming right back.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're here today. Big show, lots to talk about in this breaking news day. Hunter Biden getting a slap on the wrist, the old man looking out for him. He's the kid's, he's the boss's kid. You know what I mean? He's the boss's kid. So as much as he's an idiot and a moron and a crook, he's the boss's kid. Department of Justice was never going to do anything differently, which is why we've been saying for the longest time now, you need a special counsel. But I got 5 things to tell you, so let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5.
I'll tell you now, a bear was clinging by his claws from a second-story window. I watched this video, too. It's hysterical, too. And this guy was just hanging out in Colorado, hanging by the by his claws from a second-story window. He went into the house. He climbed into a window to get some snacks, and then he climbed out through another window on the ground level. Now, the guy was at work when all this happened, so he didn't have to worry about confronting a bear in his place. This bear made out okay. See, unfortunately, it didn't work out so well for a moose. So a moose also climbed to a man's house and this time jumped off a second story deck in Colorado, and the moose died. It didn't make it. Much like the scientist from Wuhan who mysteriously fell off the roof, didn't make it. The moose did not make it either. So now there's going to be some moose meat. They removed the moose from the resort. They donated its body to science. And I assume some good moose burgers will be coming your way. Remember, a moose, while it looks like they're very, very docile, they can kick some butt. So just if you see a moose, you know, try to stay out of the way. More animals for you. This time, little ducklings, little duckies, little ducklings, you know. In this case, in Long Island now, they actually used YouTube to try to reunite the mama duck with her little duck babies. They used the YouTube app, a group of Long Island kids and police officers, to use YouTube to reunite ducklings with mama duck in Massapequa, Long Island. These officers received a 911 call about an agitated mother duck dangerously walking into traffic on Old Sunrise Highway. Her 4 baby ducklings had fallen into the sewer. Upon arrival, officers could hear the ducklings in distress below ground. They were about 8 feet down. They couldn't see them. They weren't able to remove the sewer grate to retrieve the ducklings. So they used emergency services, essentially now, to use the YouTube app to get the babies to hear their mama and follow the voice out of the sewer. And some very quick thinking by these cops. and everybody's happy, except for the local Chinese restaurant, which now is going to have to buy duck as opposed to just using. Anyway, and then I wanted to let you know as well, and this is another animal story here. Why are these animal stories today? Cancer warnings on beer, wine in Ireland spark industry alarm in Ireland, because everybody loves a good beer, a good glass of wine, and booze. I mean, I don't want to be stereotypical. My wife's Irish, but I love a good Irish pub. Well, now the warnings on health sparking alarm. People are getting very, very nervous about this. And lastly, Tropical Storm Brett has formed over the Central Atlantic. It's forecasted to become a hurricane. Pay attention to this. We're coming right back.
Abolish the IRS. National reciprocity. She could go on forever, but she's only allowed 3 hours of the day on air to talk to you. Download the Dana Show podcast on your preferred podcast platform to take us with you wherever you go. The Dana Show.
It is the Dana Show on a busy day today. Hunter Biden getting a slap on the wrist in our two-tier justice system in this country. And it's great to be with you. I'm on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, R-I-C-H-Z-E-O-L-I, if you would like to follow along. It's frustrating. We're all feeling the frustration. I think about how many people are in federal prison in this country. Trumped up charges, and Hunter Biden gets a pass. It is a two-tier system of justice, if you believe we have a system of justice in this country, and we don't. If you've got politically powerful friends, if you've got politically powerful attorneys, and if you are not in the crosshairs of the president of the United States of America, you will get a pass. That's how it is. There's a lot of people who are in prison. And don't forget, you know, when Donald Trump was president, he tried to make criminal justice reform a key priority for his administration. And now he's facing 37 federal indictments, and Hunter Biden will walk without a single day in jail. And you know that this means the end of the case. But they're not saying it's the end of the case, of course. They're saying that the investigation continues. And the only reason they're saying that is so they can continue to stonewall Congress, so that Congress will not get any cooperation from the Department of Justice when it comes to Hunter Biden. That's it. Those are the facts right there. And I'm not a cynical person. I'm just a realist. What I have seen here, the Hunter Biden plea deal, what I've seen here, is I've seen a guy who has gotten away with it because he's the president of the United States' son. You know, CNN defended this by saying this is not a sweetheart deal. How is it not a sweetheart deal? He's not going to jail. They're defending CNN's defending the Department of Justice for letting Hunter Biden off the hook for facilitating corruption and other major felonies. When I shared with you some of the tweets before earlier in the show today, from Brett Tolman. And Brett Tolman went through in great detail how other people in this country have wound up in prison for doing far less than Hunter Biden. But particularly, there's something called the Ashcroft Rule and the Ashcroft Memorandum, which says that the federal government is supposed to use the highest prosecutable charge they could possibly get and go after that when it comes to these gun charges. They did not do that here. They're giving Hunter Biden a pass. And it makes people laugh. It makes people laugh only in the sense of pure and utter frustration. In the cynical way where we turn around and we go, are you kidding me? Really? This is a thing? Donald Trump's facing prison on the federal level. Donald Trump's facing jail time in New York City. Hunter Biden gets to walk away. Ted Cruz and Donald Trump both predicted that Hunter Biden would get a plea agreement. They both predicted this. A lot of people predicted this. I said it too. I mean, I'm not in the least bit surprised by any of this. I'm just sad that we've come to a place now where they don't even try anymore. You know, at least they could pretend and make us think maybe we have an actual blind system of justice in this country, but they're not even trying. They're not even trying. The president and the first lady love their son. They support him as he continues to rebuild his life. We will have no further comment, the White House said. Although President Biden had once said that Hunter Biden did nothing wrong. We played that clip earlier in the show today, but it's worth replaying now since this is all developing and breaking stories and everything else. So just a little trip down memory lane for you. Cut 23.
Sir, there is something personal that's affecting you. Your son, while there's no ties to you, could be charged by your Department of Justice. How will that impact your presidency?
First of all, my son's done nothing wrong. I trust him. I have faith in him. And it impacts my presidency by making me feel proud of him.
Proud of him. He's done nothing wrong. Well, We never really thought that Hunter Biden was ever going to be charged with anything criminally, which is why we've said over the years there needs to be a special counsel who can look at this objectively and not just look at it through the lens of this is the president's son. How did the China trip go with Tony Blinken? Anthony Blinken in China. New York Post said this is more than appeasement right now, what this administration is doing with China. This is more than appeasement. And here's what Blinken said regarding this. A couple different cuts here, but let's do cut number six.
So Xi Jinping didn't say absolutely not.
This is not a commitment. This is a work in progress. We're working on it.
Will the defense chiefs at least talk to each other?
Well, again, to be seen. We've made clear that we think that's important, more than important, imperative. I think the Chinese understand very well, because I made very clear where we're coming from on this.
What do the Chinese understand? What do they really understand? What did the Biden administration get out of this is my question. This is now outright appeasement. The New York Post writing this editorial about this, and I think it's very, very good. Blinken didn't even get the central ask, restoring military to military communication channels that Beijing cut last year. Biden says it's the best way to avoid stumbling into a war. But Blinken didn't even get that with this trip. Washington had to bribe Beijing to even get this meeting. It has played down Beijing's intensifying intelligence gathering, the Cuba spy base, the spy balloon, China's secret police stations inside the United States of America, and is delaying the declassification of intelligence on COVID-19 origins. Biden administration is also stalling planned restrictions on investments in China linked to its own defense industry and on export of U.S. semiconductor technology that could boost Beijing's military. The White House is giving China everything that they need. The only question I have is, what does China have on Joe Biden? Blinken was set to go to Beijing in February, but then the spy balloon happened. You remember that, obviously. Why did Washington need to do anything to grease the skids to get the trip back on the books? But they did. And now China views it as a concession. China views like they did something nice for the United States of America. That's how they view it. Like we owe them now for having the meeting with our Secretary of State. Here is a CNN anchor who described how the Chinese officials approached Blinken. I think that this person sums it up pretty nicely here.
I think what the Biden administration is challenged by, in addition to what Phil just laid out, is that what people are feeling at home is different than the message they're portraying. And they understand that there's a conflict there. They do have a record. They do have accomplishments. But they also know that people at home still think gas is too high. It might be lower than what it was a year ago, but they still say there's pain at the pump. The same thing at the grocery store.
Blinken also said regarding China, we do not support Taiwan independence. Cut number five.
On Taiwan, I reiterated the longstanding U.S. One China policy. That policy has not changed. It's guided by the Taiwan Relations Act, the three joint communiques, the six assurances. We do not support Taiwan independence. We remain opposed to any unilateral changes to the status quo by either side. We continue to expect the peaceful resolution of cross-strait differences.
And Blinken said, Margaret Brennan actually asked him, to her credit, did you get any commitment on those Americans who are being wrongfully detained in China? Cut four. This is, again, three Americans detained illegally in China. I'm sorry, Steve, you have that one cut four?
Did you get any commitment on those three wrongfully detained Americans?
We have a commitment to continue to work hard on resolving these cases.
We have a commitment to continue work hard on resolving these cases. That's the commitment he got, a commitment to work on, to keep resolving on these cases. In other words, you got nothing. You got nothing. And I think this trip is actually even worse for a lot of reasons, because as much as I'm all about diplomacy and having conversations, the fact that China views it as a concession on their part, and now they feel like we owe them something, that's a problem. But look, remember, when it comes to foreign policy in this country right now, the main thing you have to remember is that Joe Biden is still going to give Ukraine everything Ukraine wants. And then as a consequence of that, Russia and China are bestie friends now, and they are forming their own axis which is also now going to be a problem for the United States of America. Did Blinken ask China about the origins of COVID? No. Do you think he lectured him on climate change? You think he lectured Xi Jinping on climate change? China's the world's biggest polluter. You think they got any grief on that? No, not so much. But when Joe Biden was asked a question about ESG, environmental social governance, which is a disaster because companies should exist to make money. They should exist to make their shareholders money, to turn a profit, not to engage in environmental social governance. This is how Biden responded to that. Cut number three.
Did you get any commitment on those three?
As a matter of fact, a couple of businesses are suing banks because they want to consider whether or not you're environmentally. Anyway, I won't get into all that.
Anyway, I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. Environmental social governance. Right now, Biden was in California, or not right now, but he was just in California, pledging another whatever bajillion dollars for climate change. And he's out there with his buddy, Gavin Newsom. He's pledging all this stuff for climate change. He's even saying now that they're going to conserve in the United States of America this percentage of land and waters, cut number two.
And maybe most important, I've committed that by 2020, we will have conserved 30% of all the lands and waters the United States has jurisdiction over and simultaneously reduce emissions to blunt climate impact.
He's going to do all that by 2020, all right? So just so you know, he's going to do all of that by 3 years ago. So good for him. You got to have a goal, all right? You got to have a goal. I think it's very, very important. If you give up your goals, you give up your dreams, you die. So he's going to get all that done by 3 years ago. Excellent work. Why not? Now, in all of this, we keep talking about Joe Biden not being the candidate in 2024 and what that means for the Democrat Party. But if you think about it, a big part of the conversation that we're having has to do with whether or not Joe Biden himself is corrupt. And there still is the entire matter that the U.S. House of Representatives are going down and pursuing regarding Ukraine and China. Just because the Department of Justice gave Hunter Biden a slap on the wrist does not mean they're giving up. James Comer, Kevin McCarthy have reiterated their commitment to pursue this investigation. They have a whistleblower. They have a human confidential source who says Biden took a bribe and it has to do with Ukraine. And Zelensky's all over this, and I think it is so obvious we have to get to the bottom of this because this is a president who was definitely taking money from his idiot son. The Justice Department can try to do their best to protect Hunter Biden. They can do their best, but the House Republicans have oversight, and they cannot give up on this. They cannot. It's that critical. Otherwise, people are just going to lose complete faith in the system, and maybe that's the idea. You know, you give up, you lose faith, you become cynical, you don't even bother voting anymore. You just say to yourself, it's too corrupt, it's too rigged, why bother? They want that. They do. They want you to think that. They want you to just give up and say, the hell with it. You know, the hell with it. I don't even want to try. Because if I try, if I believe that justice will happen, I'm going to be sorely disappointed. And I don't want to be disappointed anymore. So I'm not even going to do it anymore. I'm not even going to try. They do want you to think about that. They do want you to walk away. They do want you to become very, very upset. And they want you to be somebody who becomes so cynical that you just opt out of the process. And then the Democrats win. The left wins. That is a big part of their strategy. All right, we got a lot more to talk about here on The Dana Show as we come into our last segment of the show. It's been so fun hanging out with you. Can't wait. I'll be back tomorrow, though, which is going to be great. I'm with you all week in for Dana, and we're having fun. So stick with me. We're coming right back.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
All right. Well, what a day, huh? What a day. A lot of frustration out there about the slap on the wrist to Hunter Biden. I get it. I do. I know how you feel. I feel it, too. It's a very frustrating afternoon. No question about it. But I'm going to stay optimistic that James Comer and Kevin McCarthy, Jim Jordan, these guys will continue the investigation in the House of Representatives. They will use their oversight function, and hopefully we'll have some justice here. That's what I'm going to hope. That's all I can do. It's all I can do is stay optimistic about it. It's not easy, though, when you see the president's chief political rival has been indicted and you turn around and you also see the president's son has been let off the hook, completely let off the hook. This is a joke. What this plea agreement is with Joe Biden is a joke. They will never get to the truth. And by saying that they're going to keep the investigation open, that is a cop-out by the United States attorney so that he can avoid cooperating with the House Oversight Committee, period. That's what he's doing. That's what this is about. And meanwhile, we're going to put Donald Trump in prison for the rest of his life? Really? That's what we're going to do? I mean, come on. You know, this is why people say enough is enough with this stuff. And they want to see real change here. They want to see real change. And I hope that they get it. I hope so. Despite the fact that you and I keep hearing all these lies from Joe Biden about how the economy is wonderful, the economy is wonderful. The economy is not wonderful. The problem in this country right now is inflation. It is everywhere and it's everything. Inflation is the problem. We have an inflation iceberg in this country, and that is what the reality is. That's what we're dealing with right now. Now, somebody asked me a question the other day. They said, what about Donald Trump and suburban women if he becomes a nominee? What about Donald Trump and suburban women? Well, look, I believe that what suburban women are going to think about in 2024 is exactly what suburban men are going to think about in 2024, which economy is better. It's the economy, stupid. I still think James Carville's axiom holds, and I believe that, and I don't think that that's ever going to change. Bret Baier asked Donald Trump last night about suburban women and his feelings on this, obviously, cut 21.
What do you say to that female independent suburban voter who feels that way to win her back?
First of all, I won in 2020 by a lot, okay? You know, let's get that straight. I won in 2020.
You know that this,
and if you look at all of the tapes, if you look at everything that you want to look at, you take a look at Truth to Vote, where they have people stuffing the ballot boxes on tapes, or let's go to recent. Well, wait a minute. Let's go to recent. FBI Twitter. Let's go to recent. The 51 agents. All corrupt stuff, Brad.
Understand about the Hunter Biden.
No, but that's
all
cheating
fair
on
things.
The election. But that's cheating on the election.
You lost the 2020 election.
Well, to be continued. No question about it. All right, Steve, I'm going to come to you for a little stupidity. Can you give me? Can you help me out here with some stupidity?
I think I can. So it's kind of sad, but John Fetterman was campaigning for Joe Biden out there, and he was trying to say something good about what he was doing, and I don't know if he even tried, but here we go.
And now I'm standing next to the president again, next to a collapsed bridge here, and he is here to commit to work with the governor and the delegation to make sure that we get this fixed quick, fast as well, too. This is a president that is committed to infrastructure, yeah, and then on top of that, the jewel, a kind of a law of the inflation.
That's tough.
Oof. Yeah, that's brutal. That's oof. And I think he called Joe Biden a collapsed bridge there, if I'm not mistaken. I'm staying next to the president, a collapsed bridge. I think that's what he meant. And in that sense, John Fetterman got it right. Joe Biden is certainly a collapsed bridge at this point. All right. Well, listen, that's the show today. And thanks for being part of it. I appreciate it. Just remember this. I'll be back with you tomorrow. I'll continue talking about this afternoon in Philadelphia. But just remember, you know, all hope is not lost here. The House Republicans in the oversight. I'm not trying to be rose-colored glasses. I'm not trying to be Pollyannish about this. But this is only going to fire up James Comer and his committee even more to get to the truth about the Biden crime family, the Biden syndicate. We have said all along, we never expected the Department of Justice to actually prosecute Hunter Biden and get to the bottom of this. That's why we said we needed a special counsel in the first place. So I'm not surprised. I'm frustrated. I'm not surprised. I'm angry. I'm not surprised. That is the fact. That is the reality. But have faith in the oversight process. It's all we can do at this point. It's all we can do. Follow me on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. I'll be back with you tomorrow on The Dana Show. And in the meantime, don't lose hope. It's all we got. Thanks for listening.